have a preference of what seating I get on United. Because I have flown on United Airlines now at least 1,950,000 miles. So I've gone to the moon and back. For some reason, they put me in a middle seat, which I don't like. So there was a lady on my left and a lady on my right, and I usually try to witness to somebody, right? So I turned to the one on the right, and she had some books in her lap. One book was called Early Writings. She was disqualified. So then I turned to the one on the right. And when I turned to the one on the right, I said, are you traveling for business or pleasure? She said, business. What kind of business? I'm a scientist. Oh, I love science. What kind of science? She said, I'm in charge of all the apparatus that points to space to see if there's life out there. She said, oh, you want to find out if there's life out there? She said, yes. And she's in charge of a program called SETI. These things have been set up, it's over now 30 years, for the purpose of finding out if there's life out there. And I happened to be sitting next to the director of the program. And I told her I love science, so when she said she's in charge of SETI, I didn't know what SETI was. It's an acronym for Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And so when she said they were trying to find out if there's life out there, I said, you're too late. She said, excuse me? I said, you're too late. She said, what do you mean? The Bible tells us there's life out there. She said, where? So I had my sword ready. And so I then turned to Job 1 and verse 8. What does it say? Now there came a what? There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was among them. So I said, here it says that there was a meeting in space. So there's life out there. And then I said, and you folks are trying to put a city in space, correct? She said, yes. I said, you're too late again. So the Bible says that there's a city in space. It even has a name. It's called New Jerusalem. What is it called? New Jerusalem. And then I said, it wasn't too long when you folks discovered how to make transparent gold. She said, don't tell me. Yes, you're too late again. I said, the Bible says that the city is made of what kind of gold? Transparent gold. The city was pure gold like unto what? Clear glass. The streets of the city was pure gold as it were. Transparent glass. So I said, wasn't it too long ago when you folks discovered how to make transparent gold? You see, for centuries, people would laugh at the Bible because they heard of streets of transparent gold and nobody had ever seen transparent gold. So they assumed that this was a fairy tale. Now the science has discovered how to make transparent gold. In fact, when the astronauts fly, their helmets have on their shield transparent gold. It protects us against the ultraviolet rays. And this transparent gold, by the way, is found in the windshields of the jetliners. And those windshields are made of an inch and a half thick, two plate glasses, inch and a half thick, and sandwiched in between those two plate glasses is a film of transparent gold. Did you know that? And the purpose of it is to heat up the windshield. And so the way they test it, interestingly, is that they put it in a block and then they shoot a bird the size of a turkey into it. And if it withstands the impact, out of a cannon, by the way, and if it withstands the impact, then they install the windshields in the jetliners. And then 1993 is when I got the information personally from an Adventist that happened to be the one installing them. And I said, so how much do those things cost? 1993, $25,000 a piece. How much? $25,000 a piece. So imagine how much God is investing in the city. What do you say? And who's supposed to walk on those streets of gold? Huh? Why do you say us? What happened to me? The Bible is a scientific book. It is a what? Scientific book. Listen, the first anesthesia is recorded in the Bible. First what? Anesthesia is recorded in the Bible. Did you know that? The Bible says, and the Lord caused what? Cause what? A deep sleep to fall upon Adam and Eve. I was a medic in the army, and I was the chairman of the board of a medical institution, so I know the processes, the procedures, what happens. You have to put somebody into a deep sleep before you can do surgery on them, right? So the first anesthesia is where? In the Bible, all right? Then the first surgery is where? In the Bible, all right? So God, it says he opened up the side of the earth. We call that incision. Then he does an extraction. Any medical people here? Am I using words? Okay, is that correct? An extraction, correct? And then there's a suturing that takes place after you do the extraction, correct? And then the interesting thing is that with that bone that the Lord took out, he made what we call today a clone. So the Bible is advanced to science. It's just that God does not use sophisticated language. He uses simple language that anybody can understand. So the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. Okay? Isn't that interesting? What do you say? So the Bible is true. In fact, here's a statement from a scientist. All human discoveries seem to be made only for the purpose of doing what? Confirming more strongly the truth that come from on high and are contained where? In the Bible. In fact, this new AI, are you acquainted with AI? That is perfect proof for what the Bible reveals when Samuel was brought up by the witch of Endor, right? It was not Samuel, could not be Samuel. God would not allow the devil to resurrect a righteous person. Do you understand? And it says that the thing came from below. If Samuel had been brought, he would have been brought from above, not from below. So that was not Samuel. That was an AI. What was it? An AI. It was the use of the devil using AI to try to convince people that the dead still are alive. I could give you more science. But listen, the topic of this message is rescue from where? Outer space. Let's pray together as we study. Please, by thy grace, help us to understand. Thank you for thy word. May your spirit be with us. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Job is a very interesting book. In fact, it has a lot of science in it. But most of the time, what happens to us is we read things that we don't understand and we just keep on reading. Isn't that true? Yes or no? Yes. And so, I'm just going to demonstrate from a few verses of Scripture the reality of the science that's in the Bible. You ready? Job 38, verse 31 and 32. Notice what it says. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of the paradise? See, God was dealing with Job, and there are a lot of questions being raised by who? By Job and his comforters, right? They're raising questions. And finally, God interrupts. Notice, 37 chapters of questions, and God finally, in chapter 38, said, okay, now it's my turn. I'm going to ask you some questions, Job. Right? And so God begins to ask questions. Another question, can you guide, bind us with the influence of the Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Can you bring forth Masreth in the seasons or can you guide Arcturus with his sons? How many of you remember these verses? Any of you? A few of you, right? But how many of you know what these verses meant? How many of you just passed over and kept on going? No hands going up. You confess the others, but you don't confess this one. Okay, listen. Why did God ask Job these questions, and what do they actually mean? Let's consider it. First, we'll go to the third one. Which one? Okay, or the fourth question. Can you guide what? What is Arcturus, or who is Arcturus? Well, let's consider what it is. This is Arcturus. Arcturus is actually a star. What is it? It's a star. So when God says, can you guide Arcturus with his sons? This is a star in the heavens. Now, to help you to understand the significance of that question, looks like a comet, flying through space. Arcturus is actually flying at a great amount of speed. It is traveling at 925,000 miles per hour. How fast? 925,000 miles per hour. And please understand this. This has just recently been discovered. 925,000 miles per hour. And it's been traveling like that for how many millenniums? Because the book of Job was written at least 3,000 years ago. At least 3,000 years ago. So this star has been traveling to space at 925,000 miles per hour, and it's never lost speed. Amazing? Now, to help you understand the significance of that, our sun is 1,300,000 times bigger than the Earth. All right? This particular Arcturus, notice, it is 22 million miles across in diameter. How much? Our Earth is only 25,000 miles across. This is 22 what? Million miles across diameter. So how small is this thing? How small is it? Notice the sun in comparison to Arcturus. The sun is that little ball, and this is the big red ball is Arcturus. Now, our Milky Way. How dense it is? That means that there are billions of stars in that area. Not millions, billions of stars in that area. If Arcturus were to fly into that area, can it crash with something? What's the answer? How many of you say yes? Can I see your hands? How many of you say no? Can I see your hands? And how many of you are playing safe? Okay, all right. The answer is no. Why? God is guiding it. See, what God is asking Job is, Job, can you do what I can do? Can you guide Arcturus with its sun? So what is God actually saying to Job? Job, if I can guide Arcturus with its sun, can I guide your little life? Sometimes we wonder. The reality is, if you put yourself in God's hands, He is able to guide you. Amazing? What do you say? So, you understand then the significance of that. Another picture of Arcturus. It is actually flying towards Spica, all right? And it's interesting because some of you, how many of you are stargazers? Any of you stargazers? Okay, so you know some of the constellations, right? The Big Dipper, the Bear, etc. All right, so this is the direction presently of Arcturus, the way it's going. All right? Now, that's a humongous orb traveling at 925,000 miles per hour, and it has been doing that for over 3,500 years, and it has never collided with anything. Why? God is guiding it. Beautiful, what do you say? Amen. But listen, that which is discovered with this wonderful telescope. This is a Palomar telescope. The what? It is in Mount Palomar in California. So how powerful is that? It's able at 200 miles to measure the angle of a straight pin. So this is a very powerful telescope. So with the telescope, they've been able to measure the speed of that star. Without the telescope, they would have not known. So, the question, how did the writer of the book of Job, 3,500 years ago, know how to ask such an intelligent question? How? The master astronomer was the one who asked the question and inspired the writing of it in the book of Job. So, God can guide your little life, can't He? If He can guide Arcturus with His sun. But listen, new telescope that they put up, and they keep on increasing it, the Hubble telescope. What's interesting about this Hubble telescope is that out in space, they can actually photograph things that they could not photograph from the Earth because of the luminosity of the sun, etc., okay? So they had to have this in space. And they wanted to know if there was anything out there in the darkness, because there are some places in the heavens that are just dark, black, right? So they aimed the telescope to a small spot about the size of a dime at 75 feet away, all right? So way up there from the last pew, can you see my little finger with a little hole in my finger? She's trying to look to see. Okay. All right. Size of a what? A dime. So they focus on it. Let me tell you what they discovered. The total area of the sky covered in the deep field was the equivalent of putting a dime 75 feet away, right? And looking at it, it says, in other words, according to Wikipedia, 1/24th of the sky, there were 3,000 images in the high definition field. That's what HDF means. Almost all of which were determined to be what? Galaxies. So in that little spot, there were how many galaxies? 3,000, all right? Which means then that the most distant being up to 13 billion light years away, and if you multiply 3,000 by 24th million, you'll come up with roughly 72 billion galaxies in that little spot. And every galaxy has billions of stars in it. So how big is space? How big is it? So, Skudem Sobieski, densely populated. If Arcturus were to fly through there, would it collide with anything? You got smart. Okay, now you know. The answer is what? No. All right. Now, let's go to the next question. Can you bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades? That's another question. Can you bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades? Well, what does that question really mean? The Pleiades is exactly what most people call the seven sisters. The what? The seven sisters, okay? You're the seven sisters. But however, they're not seven sisters. To the naked eye is seven sisters. The reality is that the seven sisters are a number of 250. How many? And the reason why it's called the sweet influence of the Pleiades is because they're beautiful. And it turns out that this is the only group of stars, the 250. The reason why it's called the sweet influence of the Pleiades is because these particular stars are together. Are what? Together. Isabel Lewis of the United States Naval Observatory said, astronomers have identified how many? 250 what? Stars as an actual number of this group, all sharing in a common motion and drifting through space in the same direction. Lewis said they are journeying onward together through the immensity of space. Then, over 25,000 individual measures of the Pleiades have been taken, and all point to the reality that the whole cluster is moving in a southeasterly direction. All right? In other words, God is asking Job, can you keep the Pleiades together? There are 250 stars. They're traveling like a flock of geese to the same direction, all right, at the same speed. So they're the only group of stars in the heavens, so far has been discovered, that are tied together and traveling to space in the same direction. So God is saying to Job, hey, Job, can you do what I do? Can you keep the stars together? What's the answer? No. What is God intimidating? He's saying to Job, not only can I guide your little life, but I can keep it together. Sometimes you think things are falling apart, right? Like my dear mother, who thought this was the end. And she wrestled with God. But it turned out that my mother, she kept on praying, Lord, you can't take me until my boys are grown up. And God, in spite of two cancer encounters and two surgeries, mastectomy and hysterectomy, she lived till she was 83 years old. God granted her her wish, her prayer, her plea, and she saw her children, her sons all grow up. She saw her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. God is good, what do you say? So while she thought it was all falling apart, who was there? Keeping it what? Together. So if you have challenges in your life and you think things are falling apart, remember, if God can keep the pleiades together, then he can keep your little life together. You just have to trust in the, in who? In the Lord. And lead not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Beautiful, what do you say? I love the Lord. All right, then the next one. Next question. Can you lose the band to Orion? So the binding together, keep them together, and now it's loosening, all right? Can you what? Lose the what? The bands or the belt of Orion. Now, how many of you know where Orion is? All right. Where does it rise? It rises out of the west or the east? Orion arises always in the east. Where? In the east. It's interesting. You can go any place on the globe, and I have gone to many places on the globe, north, way up there in the north, and you can see Orion. You go down under in the south, New Zealand, and you can see Orion. You can't see the North Star from down there, and we cannot see the Southern Cross from up here. But all of us in the world can see Orion. How many of us? It always rises where? In the east. And if there are no clouds tonight, you can look toward the east, and you can actually see Orion. All right? Is that wonderful? So remember, Jesus comes from what direction? From the east. And every eye? So if you can see Orion, you can see the Lord come. All right. Now, here is something interesting. This is the constellation called Orion. All right? And Orion was a mythological idea of the Greeks who thought they saw images up there made by the stars, right? And so the story of Orion was supposed to be a great hunter who boasted it could kill anything, and a little scorpion came and stung him in the heel, and he died. So the story of Orion is not true, okay? But it helps us at least to locate the stars. Isn't that true? Now, it actually looks like a kite. A what? A kite, all right? So the belt, that's the belt of Orion. And the three stars, the tail is actually the sword. Okay? How many of you remember making kites when you were children? You remember if you were poor like I was, we took two pieces of stick, you know, from the trees, branches, and tied them in the middle, right, like a cross. And then you went and got some paper bag and cut it and then glued it with Elmer's glue around the string, right? Then you went to your mother's skirt and you cut a piece of a skirt off so you can have a tail, right? You understand? All right, so that's what it looks like. So at night, you can actually see this constellation. Now, there's some interesting parts about this constellation. In the left knee of Orion, the star is called Regal. And what's interesting about Regal is that it is very bright. It is 40,000 times brighter than our sun. How bright? 40,000 times brighter than our sun. And it is quite large. It is quite what? Large. Then there's another star called Betelgeuse. Some people think it's Beelzebub, but it's actually Betelgeuse. And Betelgeuse, Here's how big Betelgeuse is. This is the size of the star. This star is much bigger than the orbit of the Earth around the sun. And this is the size of Jupiter's orbit around the sun. So this star is much bigger than the entire orbit of Jupiter around the sun. So how big is it? Big, big, very big. All right, now, there are different sizes of the planets. For example, Pluto is the smallest size, and then Venus is bigger than Earth, just a little bigger. But then you have the other planets that are even much bigger. You see how small Pluto becomes in comparison to Jupiter? Okay, and our Earth, of course, there's our Earth. This is interesting, because then you're comparing our sun to our Earth. And what's happened to our Earth here? It's shrinking. Then we're comparing Arcturus to our sun. What happened to all the planets? They what? They disappeared. All right? But we're trying to figure out how big Betelgeuse is. There's Betelgeuse. How big is Arcturus? Here's Arcturus, and here's Betelgeuse. So let me back up a little bit, all right? Here's our sun, and here's Arcturus, right? In comparison to our sun, Arcturus is what? Big. But then you compare Betelgeuse to Arcturus, and what happens to Arcturus? All right, here it is, and see how big that is. Which means then that in space there are huge orbs. All right? Now, just to give you a sense of what we're talking about, suppose that you had the same proportion of size that you have on the Earth, what proportion would you be on Betelgeuse? Okay? All right? So, on the Earth, you would be, okay, this is you on the Earth, maybe 6 feet tall. How many of you are 6 feet tall? Some of you are 6 feet tall, okay? We have to always look up to them. All right? However, if you were on Betelgeuse, you would be 37 and a half miles tall. You would have a chance 138,000 feet. The circumference of your forearm would be 8 miles. The length of your finger, index finger, would be 11,000 feet. The length of your leg would be 18 and a half miles. And the calf to your calf would be half of that, 9.5 miles. So how big would you be? Which means then that in comparison to what's out there, how big are you? How big are you? See, I didn't ask you how big is the Earth. I'm asking you how big are you? Comparison to all this. Okay. That's why David wrote. What did he write? Lord, what is man that thou what? Taketh knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him. In other words, we are actually, in comparison to what we're looking at, we're actually nothing. And yet, our God is interested in you. Amazing? Yes. Yes, I can guide your little life. I can keep it together. And I can lose the problems that you have in life. Many times we come across issues in life that we are troubled by. You know, when my wife and I landed a year and a half ago in Iceland, we got off the plane, went to our hotel room, because we landed there at 6 o'clock in the morning. So we went to the hotel and took a nap until noontime. I went there to do an evangelistic meeting. When I woke up, and she woke up, she couldn't talk to me. She couldn't write. I thought, what in the world's going on? I rushed her to the hospital. She had had a stroke. So it affected her sight. It affected her ability to communicate. She could not write. She couldn't tell me what was happening. She couldn't tell me anything. Okay? So we prayed. I prayed with her. And the first thought was, I need to rush her back to medical care in the States. But we decided to stay. Because we went there to do an evangelistic meeting. We knew we were in a battle, and in every battle, there's casualties. So we stayed. A lady from church came and took care of her, and I went to preach. Every day, every night, a lady would come, I would go and preach. And the lady would come, I would go and preach. We finished the meetings, and praise God, there are 47 baptisms so far. Did you hear what I said? In a country where they only baptize one a year. And the purpose of this meeting was to set the pace for the rest of Europe. So it was critical that there had to be good results in a place where there seemed to be little possibilities. So in spite of the stroke, God blessed. You understand what I'm saying? So my wife right now is sitting in the car, bless her heart, and she's probably saying, don't do that. But she loves the Lord, she trusts in the Lord, she believes in the Lord, and she is not sorry that she got affected. She's sorry that she is limited. She used to be a concert violinist, so she's not able to play violin yet. She has a beautiful voice, and she's not able to sing yet. But we know in whom we have believed. Do you understand? So there are issues in life. So what is man? What are you? He loves you enough to come and die for you, to guide your life. Put you together. So listen. In this shape of the stars, here they are, of course, you have the three stars. This is a sword, all right? What's interesting is that when you look at it with the naked eye, they all look like stars. But through the telescope, they discovered something interesting. That the middle star of the sword is not a star at all. They discovered that the middle star is actually an open space called the open space of Orion. Okay? Here it is. Isn't that gorgeous? What do you say? Gorgeous, right? Here's another picture of it. All right? Well, they discovered that this is not a star after all. When all the time everybody thought it was a star. It's a large cavern. And they call it the what? The open space in Orion. Now, there's some amazing things about this open space. Here's what the scientists say. What has all along appeared to be a flat surface and nebulous matter in the sword of Orion is shown to be the mouth of a cavern, the deep recedings into the mighty distance beyond. This is Edgar Larkin, the astronomer from out of Low Observatory. It is like looking in at a door into the rear of the cave, deep within glittering nebulosities. The chasm is the most beautiful object visible to human sight. Pillars, columns, walls, facades, bulwarks, stalactites, stalagmites are within deeps of deeps. They glow and shine superbly with pearly light. It continues. The distance of the rear of the chasm from the opening cannot be measured, but it must be 3 times greater in depth than width, or 51 trillion miles. Then it says, Sirius and Centauri following would find ample room within this cosmic deep. Torn, twisted, and distorted masses of shining gaseous matter adorned with myriads of glittering points, and the whole forms a what? Seem of what? Indescribable magnificence. Then it continues, this Titan mass, right? From whence its origin? This pearly light, where does it come from? They said, well, if it's a cold light like the lightning bugs that I was seeing last night, you do have lightning bugs here, right? Okay. Well, I saw them, so I'm a witness. So it says, if it's a cold light, like luminosity due to, in the case of fireflies, then the mystery is beyond any solution in the present power of science. If due to heat, the quantity of heat must be as that of millions of white hot suns. They have no idea what's producing the great light. Interesting, what do you say? Now, I've been to many caves. How many of you like to go to caves? Any of you? Okay. I've been to many caves. I used to be the pastor of Carlsbad Caverns, SDA Church. So I had access to it, right? But I've been to many caves. I've been to caves of Rotorua down in New Zealand. I've been to the caves down in Poland, the salt mines. How many of you have been to the salt mines in Poland? Any of you? Krakow, yes, okay. And the salt statues, and then they have the Last Supper made of salt figures. There's a lot of beautiful caves around the world. Even in New Zealand, there's some caves that you can go into. Interesting, because there's a lot of lava in New Zealand. There's different caves, beautiful. But nothing compares in beauty to the cave in heaven. How many of you would like to go there and see that cave? Raising your hand. I got good news for you tonight. Did you hear what I said? I have what? All right. First of all, the question is, can you lose the bands of? Can you lose the belt of Orion? Good news. The belt is being loose. The what? The belt is being loose. Here's the scientific background. At the present time, this consists of an almost perfect straight line in a row of second magnitude stars about equally spaced, one of the most striking beauty. In the course of time, however, the two right-hand stars, Mintaka and Alnilam, will approach each other and form a naked eye double. But the third, Alnita, will drift away eastward so that the belt will no longer So the belt is, what's happening to it? It's being what? Who's loosening it? Okay. Now notice, unlike the Pleiades clusters, the stars in the band of Orion do not share a common trajectory. So here's what we're dealing with. Here are the three stars that we're talking about, right? The belt of Orion, okay? And here's what's taking place. So you have the three stars. And one of the stars is actually moving. And it's supposed to move and make a naked eye double. Okay? Then the other star is supposed to move. And when that one moves, that takes away the band. Now, what does that mean for you and for me today? Well, let's consider this. In December 16, 1848, a little old lady had a vision. What did I say? A little what? A little old lady had a vision. And it says, the Lord gave me a what? A view of the shakings of the powers of heaven. Dark, heavy clouds came up and clashed against each other. The atmosphere parted and rolled back. Then it says, we could look up through the open space of what? In Orion, whence came the voice of God, the holy city will come down through that. How did Mrs. White know there was an open space in Orion when there was no significant telescope to verify that? How did the writer of the book of Job know how to write those significant questions about Arcturus, Orion? The master astronomer had to reveal it. What do you say? So listen. Jesus promised Let not your heart be what? You believe in? Believe also in? In my Father's house are? If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to what? Prepare a place for who? For you. All right? And if I go and prepare a place for you, what will I do? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Then, when Jesus descends from heaven, according to what we just read, where will he come from? From the open space in Orion. That's why he says he comes from the east. As the lightning shineth from the east unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So, Jesus then, with all his angelic hosts, according to Revelation chapter 19, comes with his army, correct? And descends down, but he comes for who? He comes for you. This is the greatest rescue mission ever undertaken in all the history of the universe. This is a rescue mission. This is what? Rescue mission. Jesus is sending his armies to rescue you. And I'm saying rescue you because even if you die, you're going to be resurrected anyway. Do you understand? So he's still coming for you. And where are the disciples then? Are they in heaven? Where are they? They're still waiting for Jesus. He said, I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself. So where will Jesus find his disciples? Down here on earth. They'll wake up at the right time. Right? So there'll be this great, great resurrection. The angels will descend from heaven. The dead in Christ will rise, awake out of the graves. Yeah, I would love to see my little sister come up out of the grave. Hug her again. And then there'll be the greatest, greatest procession ever in the history of mankind. All of the righteous will begin to take their trip where? Heaven. What a great procession that will be. What do you say? Can you imagine that? All of God's people rising up, meeting the Lord in the air, and then starting that trip towards where? Towards heaven. And we begin to fly through space, right? The earth becomes what? Smaller and smaller and smaller. And we keep on going up until finally the earth is behind. And then we begin to sail through space. And I tell you, we must be sailing at a great, great speed. Because from what I understand, the Orion is 1,300 light years away, which is not a hop, skip, and a whoopee. You're talking about a massive amount of speed. In fact, the Bible says that the angels travel at the speed of light. Did you know that? Did you know that? Yes or no? We're talking about quantum speed. What kind of speed? Quantum speed. These angels are able to fly. Look, it took 3 minutes for Daniel to pray. How long? And Gabriel came all the way from heaven down to talk to Daniel. So how fast can he fly? Beyond our comprehension. But thank God that God will make sure you fly at the right speed. And he'll take away the fright that you have for heights. How many of you are afraid of heights? Any of you? And you won't have to worry about the fright. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You won't have to worry about falling. All right? And so we begin to travel through space. Can you imagine seeing all the beautiful things? What a sightseeing trip that will be. As the Lord points out this miracle and this wonderful thing and all the different beautiful things that are in the space and in the heavens, the planets, and then finally, all the different types of galaxies. They're just some very gorgeous things out there. And as we're looking and looking and looking, our mouths will be open. Because all we can say is, ah, ah, ah. And then we continue to go as we're looking at the different things that are pointed out to us in that trip toward heaven. And finally, Up and ahead is what? The open space. And Jesus, leading the host, takes us in. And I don't know how far in there is the holy city. Because she says the holy city will come out through the open space. But we don't know how far deep is the city. But listen. Up ahead, you see the open space in the Rhine. And our hearts will be jumping for joy. Because we know we're getting close to home. Finally, we approach the holy city. There in the distance. And then the angels that are within begin to shout. And the angels that are without begin to shout. Finally, the gates are actually thrown open. And as the gates are thrown open, Jesus places a crown on each brow. And then comes the moment of moment where all of God's people surround the throne. And then at last, you can hear the Father's voice saying, "Welcome home, children." Finally, I should share with you the final text. Notice what it says. Seek who? Seek him that maketh what? Seven stars and Orion. And turneth the shadow of death into the morning. And maketh the day dark with night. That calleth for the waters of the sea. And poureth them out on the face of the earth. What's his name? The Lord is his name. Welcome home, children. I long to hear that voice. What about him? What a day that will be. Home at last. And God shall wipe away how many tears? All the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more sorrow, sickness, pain, or death. For the former things passed away. Our friend, do you want to be there? Do you long to be there? You can understand why these questions were raised. God wants you to understand that He is still in control. You see all sorts of things taking place. There are wars and rumors of wars, just like Jesus said would take place. There are earthquakes, and they're increasing in number. There are storms, there are diseases, there are plagues, there's death, there's sickness. But there's a hope. And the hope is to finally get home. Does your heart feel strangely warm tonight? As you think of the procession, the trip, and finally arriving and hearing your Father's voice saying, "Welcome home." I dare say that every mouth will be praising Jesus. Every heart will be rejoicing for what Jesus did. And everyone will be satisfied for all that God permitted and done in your life to prepare you for His kingdom. I wonder tonight if you are willing to recommit your life to Him tonight. If you desire to be ready for the Master's coming, would you be willing to stand reverently and by standing saying, "Lord, I want to commit myself In spite of anything that's going on in my life, in spite of anything that's taking place, I want to hear your lovely voice at last. I want to hear that welcome home. I want to be in the kingdom. And there's somebody here today who's visiting who has never made the commitment to Christ. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But why don't you, in your heart, make the decision? Lord, you're speaking to me. I want to be there. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Spirit that's speaking to us tonight. For spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Thank you for warming our hearts with the glad hope of salvation. Thank you for revealing the things that you have revealed in your scriptures. Thank you for the promise of Jesus. Thank you that He has made us more precious than the golden wedge of Ophir. And thank you that He will make us the jewels in His crown when He comes. But Lord, until that day, oh, help us. Help me to not allow anything to sidetrack me. Grant, Lord, and each one of us can daily make sure of our salvation so that when the Master appears, we may be able to say, lo, this is our God. He has come, and He will save me. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
We want to pray for you, but I want to give you a gift. You are an honorary member of the New York Conference.
Amen.
All in favor, say aye.
And please remember, folks, he said,
and I'd like to have prayer for you now. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just want to say thank you. It's an awesome thing to study your word, to mine the depths and the treasures in your word. Lord, we've just had a wonderful time. We've seen the effect of the Holy Spirit just in the spirit that's in this place. And so we thank you for that. We ask that these lessons are not lost upon us. But Lord, I want to lift up Dr. Torres and his wife as they are warriors for you, serving you, traveling the world, going wherever you send, being willing to do whatever it takes, even if it's to just share with one more person who you are and that you're coming soon. So we pray for health. We pray for healing. We pray for safety and protection. We pray, Lord, for grace, for power, and for the continued outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon him and those who you bring him into contact with. Thank you for sharing him with us, Lord. Lord, help us to live our faith and help us to go in your name and in your power. And we pray in the name of Jesus and all God's people say,
amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.